Hi, and let's get into the Word of God right now. If you want to follow this in your Bibles, just turn to Psalm 25, and we're going to get to that a little bit later in the message, but just have that at the ready. The title of the message today is Enjoying the Bible, and I know some people are like, enjoy and the Bible in one sentence. But I'm going to show you today some really good ways that we can enjoy this incredible book. I've been reading this and studying it now for over 4 decades. Yes, I'm that old and have learned a few things about how to enjoy this amazing book. I'm going to share some things with you today, some of the things I've learned on my journey. But first, I want us to look at some of the things or some of the ways, the wrong ways to read the Bible. So I'm going to share 4 of these with you. These are wrong ways to read the Bible. Number one, reading it out of obligation. It's like, well, you know, God says read the Bible, so I better read the Bible, even though I don't really want to. That really isn't kind of going to do anything for you. And God's like, He doesn't want you doing something out of obligation. The verse that springs to mind is 2 Corinthians 8, where it says, you know, God loves a cheerful giver. He doesn't want us to give under compulsion or reluctantly, but cheerfully from the heart. And it's that kind of attitude that we need to bring to the Bible as well if we're to enjoy it. Now, maybe you kind of feel out of obligation to read the Bible because of some of the teaching that you've had in your Christian journey. I heard some messages in the first few years of my Christian life where it was like, well, you've got to read the Bible. And while you're at it, you've got to pray. And that kind of thing, you just kind of sit there and go, oh, yeah, well, I got to, so I better. But I did it out of obligation rather than enjoying it. In the early years of my Christian journey, I went to a seminar. And really, I mean, God save us from seminars. I don't think we need another one, do we? But this one was called The Hour That Changes the World. It was put together by a guy called Dick Eastman. And I don't want to take away from him. He's a wonderful man of God. He's written some great books over the years. He's still alive. I believe he's in his late 70s. But I went along to this. It was a seminar on prayer. And it was called The Hour That Changes the World. And it was based around 60 minutes of prayer that was then broken up. You can have a look at the picture that's on your screen right now, and there you will see 12 segments, each of 5 minutes duration. In the middle of the circle, it says prayer hour, and it's based on the statement of Jesus to the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane, couldn't you even watch with me or pray with me for 1 hour? And so He breaks the hour up into these 12 5-minute segments. So for the first 5 minutes of your prayer hour, you're to spend in prayer and worship, or praise and worship. The second 5 minutes is all about waiting on the Lord. The third 5 minutes, you confess your guilt and your sin. Then you move into praying scripture. The next 5 is watching, then intercession, petitions, thanksgiving, a song, contemplation, meditation, listening, and praise. That's how you finish up. I've got to say, until this time, I really enjoyed my prayer life. You know, prayer was kind of free-flowing, something I do through the day, practicing the presence of God, enjoying reading the Word. But this brought such a structure into my prayer life that it became quite regimented and quite controlled. I mean, can you imagine me doing this with Christy, or you doing this with your spouse, your partner, or someone that you're close to, you know, maybe a friend, or you sit down with them and you say, okay, so we've got an hour together, and so we're going to structure the hour. I've got my timer here, and I say to Christy, now go. You've got 5 minutes to talk about your day. And at the end of that 5 minutes, the timer's going to go off. And now it's not your turn anymore, Christy, because it's my turn. So now I've got 5 minutes to talk about my day. So for the next 5 minutes, I talk about my day, but I'm being timed. And after 5 minutes, the timer goes off again, and it's enough from me. And now for the next 5 minutes, Christy, we're going to talk about the children. Go. So we talk about the kids for 5 minutes. We've only got 5 minutes. because the time is going to go off again, and so on and so forth, all the way through the end. And at the end of the time, I say to Christy, hasn't that been a wonderful hour together? And now I'm leaving. Off I go and do whatever I want to do. I mean, she'd be sitting there. Can I tell you, with Christy, we wouldn't have even got through the whole hour until she said, you know what, I don't like this system, let's rip it up. And that's what I've done with the hour that changes the world, because it was so regimented that it actually strangled the joy out of my prayer life and my time in the world. It's a really good way to ruin any relationship, to make it so structured that it literally throttles the joy out of it. You see, we don't read the Bible because we have to. We read it because it's good for us, it's good for our relationship with God, it's good for our relationship with others and the world around us. So, wrong way to read the Bible, number one, is out of obligation. Number two, reading it as an instruction manual. I've heard Bible, B-I-B-L-E, described as basic instructions before leaving Earth. It's clever, but it's inaccurate. Seeing the Bible as merely an instruction manual, a handbook, really takes away from its status of being God's inspired word, God's holy communication. From divinity to humanity, the Bible is so much more than just a list of do's and don'ts. Now, yes, there are do's and don'ts in the Bible. And I have discovered if you spend all of your time doing the do's, you don't have the time to do the don'ts. But what we've got to understand is that the law, the instruction manual, actually didn't work. That's what some of the New Testament is talking about. Paul, particularly, and the book of Hebrews. You know, if the first covenant was able to bring us into a relationship with God, then Jesus came in vain. But he didn't come in vain. Jesus, God, born into a human body, lived amongst us, died, rose again, ascended into heaven to draw us into a relationship with God. And so the law didn't work. And so relationship works. In fact, in Galatians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul talks about the law as being like a tutor. It taught us and led us to Jesus. And now we have relationship with Jesus and we don't need the tutor anymore. You see, God is interested in a relationship with you. He's interested in a real relationship, and real relationships are not built on to-do lists. Again, you know, with Christy and I, if every morning I wrote a to-do list and I stuck it on the fridge, hi, honey, do these things today, and she did the same, hi, Rob, please do these things today, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then our relationship was built on what she does and what I do, then the relationship will never grow, never go anywhere. Now, I'm not saying there aren't things to do around the house and around the garden. Absolutely, there certainly are. And a to-do list can be very helpful. But let's not base our relationships, our friendships, on to-do lists. And let's not base our relationship with God on a to-do list. He hasn't brought us into relationship with himself just simply to give us a bunch of instructions. The third wrong way to read the Bible is as God's answer book. The Bible has lots of wisdom, but it doesn't answer every question and every situation of life. Some people look at the Bible like it's kind of like a daily horoscope. I have to find my verse for today. Many of you are aware, for many years I worked on a commercial station here in Melbourne, Easy Music 3MP, and over the 15 years I used to fill in for the breakfast announcer on quite a few occasions when he went on holiday. Part of the breakfast show was to play the stars, which were normally on a reel-to-reel, but sometimes my co-host would read them. On one particular morning, she said, oh goodness, I can't find the stars for today anywhere. At which point she rummaged through a whole pile of papers, came up with a sheet. She said, oh, I haven't used these ones for a while. I'll use these today. And I mean, it's kind of a funny story, but there are people who actually used to ring the station. They say, oh, I haven't heard the stars for today yet. I can't get out of bed until I've heard what my horoscope is. And we used to have to read it for them so that they could hear their stars for the day. Sometimes people treat the Bible in that way as well. It's like, well, God, you can show me what's the verse for today, randomly open up, circle, have a look and see what the answer is. There's a word for that kind of thing, and the word is bibliomancy. Basically, it's fortune telling for Christians. And bibliomancy, you ask a clear question to God, and then you open the Bible to a random page, you trail the finger decreasing concentric circles, you point to a verse, and that's what the Spirit apparently is saying to you, containing the answer to your question. I heard about a guy who did that, and his finger fell on Luke 18:22. He was asking God what he should do. And so the answer from God, apparently, was sell everything you have and give it to the poor. And he's like, well, I don't like that one very much. So he closes the Bible and opens it again, trails his finger down and finds Luke 10:37 that says, go and do likewise. He's like, oh, I really don't want to do this. So he's third time lucky. Let's try this again. And his finger goes down to John 13:27. What you are about to do, do it quickly. And so that's a funny kind of way of looking at it, but we've got to see the Bible as so much more than God's answer book, and it certainly isn't our horoscope for today. But don't get me wrong, God can and does lead us to specific Bible verses that do speak to us in a time of need. God sometimes causes us to stumble on a verse at precisely the time we need the message that that verse contains. Occasionally, I'll put a Bible verse that's been speaking to me. I'll put it on my Facebook page. And invariably, when I do that, someone will comment and say, wow, that's awesome. That's exactly what I needed to hear today. And that's wonderful. But the Bible is so much more than just an answer book. The fourth and final wrong way to read the Bible is to win arguments. Yes, we all know that person who is always right about the Bible and more than willing to tell you why on every occasion. This person invariably lacks grace and humility, and they come across as harsh, legalistic, and dogmatic. That's why I want to take you into Psalm 25. And if you found that, Psalm 25, and we're going to pick it up from verse 4. And I encourage you to read this a few times during the week. It contains about five principles on how to have a teachable spirit. So let's have a look at Psalm 5 from verse 4. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are God, my Saviour, and my hope is in you all day long. Remember, Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you, Lord, are good. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in his ways. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful toward those who keep the demands of his covenant. For the sake of your name, Lord, forgive my iniquity, though it is great. Who then are those who fear the Lord? He will instruct them in the way they should choose. They will spend their days in prosperity, and their descendants will inherit the land. The Lord confides in those who fear him. He makes his covenant known to them. My eyes are ever on the Lord, for only he will release my feet from the snare. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. Relieve the troubles of my heart and free me from my anguish. Look on my affliction and my distress and take away all my sins. See how numerous are my enemies and how fiercely they hate me. Guard my life and rescue me. Do not let me be put to shame, for I take refuge in you. May integrity and uprightness protect me, because my hope, Lord, is in you. So many wonderful statements, so much amazing truth in that psalm. And as I say, spend some time reading it and ask the Holy Spirit to enlighten you on the different ways that you can develop a teachable spirit. One of them that resonates with me is found in verse 9. It says, "He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way." If you want the Lord to teach you, then have a humble heart. We need to bring a humble heart and mind. That word humble also means gentle. So gentleness of heart and mind. We need to be able to come to the Lord and say, "I don't know it all and I haven't arrived yet. Please teach me. I want to learn." That is the person whom God will teach. We need to bring that heart and mind into our time in God's Word. And so with that backdrop in mind about the wrong ways to read the Bible, let's take a few minutes to look at how to enjoy the Bible devotionally. In my devotional life, I do my very best to bring a humble and gentle spirit to the Lord and to His Word. And I trust God to speak to me through Scripture. Here are four things that I find particularly helpful. Number one, read a chapter or two. At the very most, in my early years as a Christian, I used to read four chapters a day. Because if you read four chapters of the Bible every day, you will get through the entire Bible in a year. So here I've got, this is the Bible I used to use when I first became a Christian. It's a King James version of the Bible. It's been very well read and written in and lots of scribbled notes. And it's kind of going a yellowy color because it's so old and it's been used so much. And on the bottom of certain pages, I've asterisked it and ended up putting a date down as to when I finished reading that particular section of the Bible. And so I found this section here, Revelation chapter 12, which are the four chapters that I read in this week 38 years ago. And so an asterisk at the bottom, it's got the 9th of September 1983. And so I did that for the first few years of my Christian life, four chapters a day, every day, and read the Bible cover to cover every year. Now, if you're a fairly new Christian, you might want to do something similar to that as well. And there's plenty of Bible reading plans available, including on the Bayside Church website. Under Connecting with God, you'll find a devotions tab, and that will bring up a number of ways you can do your devotions, including reading the Bible in a year. But for me today, I don't want to read big chunks of Scripture. I like to read maybe a chapter, maybe just sometimes a few verses. And what I'll tend to do is I'll pick a particular book in the Bible or a letter in the Bible or a section of a book. And I'll want to spend a few weeks in that particular area. Right now, I'm reading 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians and just reading a few verses every day and spending time in that and letting it really soak into my spirit. And so I think as you mature in the Lord, it's not about quantity, it's about quality, and you want to go deep. I see the Bible very similar to the early days of gold mining in inland Victoria around Ballarat. You know, when they first struck gold, people would go there and they could pan for gold and they'd find little nuggets on the surface of the ground. But after a while, all of those were gone, and so they had to dig a little bit deeper to find some gold. But then, of course, all of that had gone. Over the process of time, they'd have to send down mine shafts to find seams of gold deep down into the earth and mine those. And I think that's similar when it comes to the Scriptures. When I first became a Christian, it was like, oh, there's a nugget. There's another nugget. Oh, here's a nugget. And but then you all of those are gone, so you need to dig a little deeper. And then you need to send down mine shafts into the Scriptures and really find some beautiful seams of gold that you can harvest and mine for your spiritual strength. And so that's number one, read a chapter or two at the most, unless you want to read the whole Bible in a year. Number two, select a verse or a line, something that stands out to you as you've read it. And you might want to read that same passage several times, but then a word or a phrase or a sentence may really stand out to you. This is what stood out to me during the week from 1 Thessalonians 5, And it's actually verses 16 to 18, but they're very short verses. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And so select a verse or a line, and that's the line that I selected from 1 Thessalonians 5. The third thing you do is meditate on it. Meditate on the scripture. The Hebrew word for meditate, by the way, literally means to ponder by muttering. It literally means to talk to yourself. Now, I'm so glad we have mobile phones, because before we had mobile phones in our car, if you were talking to yourself or praying out loud in the car and people pulled up alongside you, they would look across and they would think that you're weird. Why is that person in their car and they're talking to themselves? But of course, now we have mobile phones. And so you could be speaking to someone on the phone. And so you're in the car and you're praying and you're muttering, you're pondering by talking to yourself about the verse or the line from scripture that you read that day. And people look at you and they go, oh, that guy's talking to someone on the phone, which you're not. You're kind of talking to God and talking to yourself. So meditate on it, ruminate, mutter, muse, all of those things. And then fourthly, respond to God. And so four questions that I find helpful here. Number one, what is God saying to me through His word? Secondly, how will I respond to God's word? Thirdly, how does this cause me to love God? And then fourthly, how does this cause me to love my neighbor? They're four great questions that will help you really process what you're reading. As I say, those verses from 1 Thessalonians 5 have really been speaking to me. Rejoice always, give thanks in all circumstances. Here we find ourselves in the middle of a global pandemic. You know, it's tough times. We see stuff around the world where people are getting sick and dying, and here in Melbourne and New South Wales and other parts of the world, there's lockdown, there's restrictions, people have lost jobs, businesses are struggling, people are finding their mental health is impacted, we can't gather as a church community in person at the moment. All of those sort of things impact on us, and yet I come to the Word and I get reminded, Rob, rejoice always. Rejoice always. Why? Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. And give thanks in all circumstances. What, all circumstances? Yeah, apparently that's what this says. So what would that look like in the circumstances that we find ourselves in at the moment? I'm giving thanks. I have a heart of gratitude to God. Things I can be grateful for, even though I hate lockdown. I don't like the restrictions. No, I don't like wearing a mask and all of those things. And yet I can grumble about that. But the Bible, the Word of God that's been highlighted to me is give thanks in all circumstances. And so an attitude of gratitude. I thank you that I have my next breath. I thank you that I have a wonderful family. I thank you that we have an amazing church community of just some of the most incredible people that I have ever met. I'm grateful for all these things. I'm grateful that I get to live in this land, Australia, where we have a democratic government, where we have benevolent leaders who are making decisions for the common good, all of those things. I look around the world and I am so grateful to God for what we have here. So I encourage you, you know, maybe that's a verse that you could meditate on this week. Rejoicing always, praying continually, giving thanks in all circumstances. And, you know, nothing changes, but everything changes when you start to do those things. Finally, just a few comments about enjoying the Bible together. And this is a particularly Hebrew thing. My Jewish friends would very rarely actually read scripture on their own. They always read scripture aloud in groups of people. They enjoy scripture in community. So the Bible is not just something we appreciate on our own. God's word should be read aloud in community, discussed and enjoyed with other believers. That's something you can do in a connect group, or maybe you just pick one, two, three friends and you agree on what you're going to read in over a fortnight, and then you do a Zoom or you go for a walk when restrictions are eased, and you discuss what each of you got from that Bible reading. One particularly powerful way to enjoy the Bible in community is the ancient Christian meditation practice of Lectio Divina, or sacred reading. And there are four very basic steps that are so very easy to learn. So I'll just take you through those before we wrap up today. Number one in Lectio Divina is the Lectio, or the reading. That is slow, contemplative reading of a text out loud. So if you're doing this in a group, you have one person who is dedicated or selected to be the reader. You don't spend much time rationally analyzing the text, and you don't try and work through it quickly. Instead, you let your mind linger on individual words and phrases. You might read the text several times, each person listening for a word, a phrase, a sentence that speaks to them. So that's the Lectio, the reading. The second thing is the Meditatio, or the meditation. At some point during the process of Lectio, one passage or verse or sentence or word should speak to you more than others. Spend some time repeating that. Might be silently or just whispered, letting it really sink in. Write it down if that helps you. I love writing down the verse or the phrase that God is speaking to me. And then, of course, everyone can share their insights from the scripture later on after the Lectio is over. The third thing is the oratio, or the prayer, where you use the truth that you've gained from meditating in forming a prayer. I like to write my prayer down. I like to script a prayer. And then when I'm happy with the prayer, I read that out loud to the Lord. You can say it. You can say it silently. Some of you, if you're creative, maybe you want to draw a picture or paint something or write a poem or write a song or a psalm. Whatever your creativity, your creative gifts are, you can use those to express how you feel to God in prayer. And then the fourth thing is contemplatio, or contemplation. If you feel yourself being enveloped by the presence of God, then let go of all words and then silently settle into that experience. Enjoy being loved by God and enjoy loving God. I want to pray for you right now. Maybe you just want to close your eyes and let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your goodness and your love. And I thank you for my brothers and sisters, Lord God. And I ask that right now you will envelop them with your love, your grace, your presence. May every person within the sound of my voice sense your loving arms around them. Fill them with your Holy Spirit, Lord, I pray. Draw us closer to yourself and closer to one another. And Lord, in this time, which is so difficult for so many people, I pray that we will find a fresh love and enjoyment in your amazing word, the Bible, the scriptures that you have given to us. Thank you, Father, for this time today. And I pray for anyone that doesn't know you yet, that you, by your Spirit, will draw them into a loving relationship with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you find yourself at the beginning of your spiritual journey and you're interested in finding out more about God, more about Jesus and the Bible, can I encourage you to click on the link that you'll find either in the chat feed or in the bulk of the notes if you're watching this on YouTube. You can just click on there and fill out a brief form that will put you in touch with one of our leaders at Bayside Church. And we'd love to follow up, maybe give you a call, send you an email. We'll certainly send you a Bible and some information about what it means to be a Christian and how to start becoming a follower of Jesus Christ.